post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
The near post talks football across the Australian Community Radio Network. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio is Lucy Zulich. As always, Lucy never let us down. Unlike Terry, who's not with us tonight. Terry, we miss you.
Boo!
Paddy Bordier is here. Paddy, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much.
And it's going to be a 26-minute show because it's all about New Zealand tonight. Notice the emphasis on the 20, not the socks. And
very...
here we go.
Well, can I just say that's very clever humour.
Oh, very witty.
Champagne humour.
On a fantastic note.
That's right. It was like that. When I went to New Zealand, we used to order $6 of chips all day, every day. Anyway, this is the NZ edition of the Near Post. Do not adjust your sets. We cover all the Asian Champions League, the Socceroos, and the A-League's finals football. And Rhonda and Bob, Rhonda, normally at this point of the night, Tuesday night, I know that you're walking around making a bit of noise, tired after a long day. Sit down and let Bob listen. Welcome, Bob. I know you're one of our favourite listeners. Sydney FC band Bob is out there and he needs a bit of quiet when the football's on. So give him a bit of quiet.
Come on, Ron, to give him a break. Yeah.
Flanagan.Eamon@gmail.com is the email where you can contact us. The podcast available on the blog, nearpost.blogspot.com, and on iTunes, and on halftimeheroes.com.au, and down at your local shop, and streamed on to xxfm.org.au.
You can't get away from us. That's what we're trying to say
exactly
here.
Right.
We're on Twitter. And we're also...
on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook. We're everywhere.
I'm going to start a Near Post Facebook
page.
I'm going to do that.
That could be two of us on it.
Yeah. The show dedication this week, the Yellow Fever, the best football fans off the field in the whole of New Zealand, maybe in the A-League. Have a look at their website.
The whole of New Zealand, is there much competition there?
yellowfever.co.nz. Fantastic website, brilliant, check it out. And the quiz question tonight, because we're all so focused on New Zealand, is name the last time the Socceroos played the All Whites, the score and any scorers. But because my...
Lucy Zulich sings the near post.
Okay, so the quiz question. Name the last time the Socceroos played the All Whites, the score and any scorers.
Alrighty.
Good God.
Go.
That's quite
a detailed question, do you? Because
I'm punting here. I'm going to go the 5th of October 2009.
What?
The 5th of October 2009.
Am I right?
I would have gone for late 90s.
Hang on, we're talking Australia versus New Zealand in football.
Oh, God. Well, okay. Sorry, I was completely off the planet here.
Yes.
Look, I have no idea.
I can vaguely remember a Confederation Cup that they beat us to get into.
Okay, so you've got no idea, have you?
Late 90s. That's all I'm vague. Okay.
I think that's absolutely the right answer.
Okay, all right. We'd like a bit of confidence here.
Okay, for those experts out there who clearly aren't in here, the answer is, and if you are out there, you should be in here, I think. The answer is 2005. In June 2005, Ricky Herbert's first match in charge, the All Whites went down 1-0 at Craven Cottage, the home of Fulham. Scorer Simon Colosimo in the 87th minute. Before that, we played in Adelaide 2004, Australia 1, New Zealand 0, Marco Bresciano. And before that, the game was in Auckland in 2002, and we lost to a Ryan Nelson goal. And don't worry, I didn't know any of those answers either, but of course, he who sets the question.
Must know the answer. You'd like to hope so.
Yeah, you would. Now, the news. There's loads of news going on. Melbourne take on Beijing on Tuesday. And if you listen to this across Australia, that was last night. Because the show goes out on Wednesday.
What a game.
Brilliant. And Ryan Griffiths didn't play. He's been kicked out of the squad. So
he's left out of the AFC squad.
Big game on. And Adelaide at home to Asian Champions League champions, Pohang Steelers. Where are they from, by the way? Anybody know?
The Pohang Steelers.
They're Korean, are they?
They are Korean, so they are the champions. Mm. Socceroos to take on New Zealand in the final game at the MCG before the leave for the World Cup.
I have issues with that. Why would we play a New Zealand team revved up to take us and absolutely prepared to chop our Harry Bolsawood Kewell down?
Because we've got nobody else who would come out. But more importantly, it's going to be great. It's going to be an occasion. Unlike when we played Greece where, it was 95,000 people, but the game, Skoko scored. He never got a minute in the World Cup.
It's subpar.
It's preparation of the World Cup. You've got to be careful with that. Hiddink would have never allowed this.
Bring back Gus.
No, it'll be fine. It'll be good. And the Kiwis will want to win. It'll be a proper game of football.
It will be a proper game. That's
there will be blood.
Gold Coast assistant coach and FFA scholarship coach holder Paul Ocon booted out of the Gold Coast. So much for his coaching.
Booted out, like I was discussing it off air earlier. They'd basically said, you know, the CEO Clive came out and said, yep, we're going to promise, a month ago this happened, we're going to promise you a contract, it's fine. Tuesday, thanks for your services, mate, but we no longer need them anymore. Oh, that's got a burn for him as well.
Yeah. And particularly for Paul O'Connor, you know, former Socceroos captain, his first coaching position assistant. Mm. And
he gets a season and that's it. They did okay.
But look, to the Gold Coast defence, Mirren came out and said, look, he was wonderful for us. He did really well. But at the end of the day, we're looking to refresh for next season. So,
do you refresh through your assistant coach?
You'd like to think that you're refreshing through your actual team.
Yeah.
You know, that you're looking at good player recruitment, etc. I mean, not that they don't have good players, but, you know, that's where I'd start.
It just seems strange that his is the first head to roll.
I think something went wrong there, to be
fishy,
honest.
You think?
Something is dodgy.
I spoke to Sydney FC's Kofi Dunning yesterday, and he's back. Well, he's just started running again, and he expects to be back for the start of the new season.
So he's already had surgery then?
Yep.
Oh, well done.
Bad news for Christian Sarke. He's broke his leg against Perth in the Youth League. Misses the Asian Champions League and also possibly the start of his new club Melbourne Hearts season. Futsal Ruse. I know you've just met them, Lucy, but they're still here. They beat Myanmar 6-1. They beat Indonesia 4-1. They play Vietnam now for... they basically have to win that to go through to the AFC final in Tashkent, Uzbekistan in May. And the top three teams will get to the World Cup, so they're on track for that. Matildas beat New Zealand 3-0 with goals from Heather Garriott, Lisa Devanna and Lena Karmas.
Go, girls!
So long as we beat New Zealand.
Girls, it's all about New Zealand tonight. We've got a bigger pool of players to choose from, said Mr. Samani. And from what we've seen, the inclusion of players like Kylie Ledbrook, Ivy Lewick and Siva Unsila, who have all benefited greatly from their involvement in the Westfield W League, have all performed well and got themselves in the national team. Next up, though, it's a real test. North Korea, two games in March. That will tell us whether we're going to have a chance, I guess, of qualifying for the World Cup. Two Canberra United players, Beck Keaton and Bronwyn Studman, head to the USA for football and uni, with IVQ just returning and getting into the Matildas. Maybe another pathway for our girls.
Brilliant. Love to hear that kind of stuff happening for women's football. Always good.
Wellington female fans, the Bra Girls, take off their shirts to match their male counterparts at the end of the game against Perth Glory on the weekend. So,
I saw that one.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Not to say that they weren't young and sprightly ladies, which they actually weren't. Looking at mid-30s here.
It doesn't stop the blokes. They can be young and they can be old and not so...
It's an homage to Newcastle United, the one in England, but I'm not quite sure if you're going to pick a club to make an homage to. Newcastle United, maybe not your best choice.
Tony Pignata, CEO of the Knicks, reckons a sellout from 24,000 on the weekend. He reckons they're going to get 35,000.
That's brilliant.
Whoa. That's interesting.
And I've embraced Twitter again because...
You embraced Twitter.
I don't like it, but anyway...
Becoming a part of the new generation, are you now, Eamon?
Podcasting, Twittering, you name it. Adrian Leyer is on Twitter, so is Bozza, so is Mitch Langerak, and they're Twittering in from China before tonight's game. Yellow Fever there, the Near Post on Twitter, so there you go. Everybody's on Twitter, and Lucy, as a student of journalism, and
I'm not on Twitter, no. I will not be. I'm not succumbing to that.
I'm waiting
kind
for
of...
the next thing.
Nobody,
that's how cool I am.
Nobody wants
to
know what I'm doing. Nobody wants to know. And that's all that it basically is. Twitter is, shopping with mum. Great. No one cares. I'm not that egotistical that I want people to know what I'm up to.
It says here, Paul Ocon's been sacked. That was on Twitter.
There you go. Bringing us the real news. Yeah.
Okay, we were going to talk about, or I was going to play the penalty shootout from the Wellington Phoenix game on the weekend, but technological disaster means I just have to tell you.
We'll have to recreate it.
So Twitter, yes. CD, no.
CD, no, no. We can't do it. But we do want to talk about Wellington Phoenix, first of all. What do you think of the atmosphere, the game, and how far can New Zealand and Wellington football go?
They can go all the way.
All the way. I'm sceptical about that. And we spoke about this last week.
I'm not saying they're going to win the grand final. I think they will get to the grand final.
Do you think they will be in the grand final? Up against
two. They have got a great home record, and they're playing at home.
I don't know.
And I don't think they deserve to win against the Gold Coast. I thought the Gold Coast had better opportunities, a better team.
Mm.
But they just were so desperate for it, and they just hang on. Mm. Well, hang on there, and, well, you know, the penalty shootout.
Piney and Klutzy were calling the shootout, and I think when Caceres came up, the line went something like, here comes Caceres. He wasn't even expecting to play in this game, and now he's an expectant father as well. It's a classic. And we had more classics like after a goal went in, Klutzy says, I've got to lie down. Piney, you take over. It really is a classic call. And if you go to yellowfever.co.nz, it'll cheer you up for the day. I guarantee it. Good work, lads, by the way.
The hats are in it, you know. I love that.
Yeah, I love the way they say, come on. Another of the Perth Glory players came up and he goes, it's number 11. Oh, hang on, no, they don't have a number 11. Oh, no, it can't be the number 11 then. It wouldn't be very good choosing. It was classic stuff. It really was.
We should get them on the near post sometime.
Absolutely. We'll make some for some entertaining football, that's for sure.
Okay, so they've got 24,000. I mean, someone on the raw.com.au, they were talking about the finals football being no good. But, you know, 25,000 turning up shows you that crowds will come to the finals. And without it, where would we be?
Well, more interestingly, what I want to say on that as well is, I know it's great that the crowds are coming out to support their teams, but where are you during the season?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. We're looking at dismal crowd records throughout the season.
It was
it's
tough.
Been some
it was
of the
awful.
Worst that we've had, and we've spoken about it as well, and you know, we've always wondered what's happening, why has it hit such a
so
slump?
So is it a good thing that the finals can bring in big crowds except for the Gold Coast?
Yeah, I think so. I think the final system, which is not unique, but certainly Australia-specific, in the way that they said it relatively same way for AFL and the league. I think, you know, that's a good twist. It's a good way to bring people in. It's about bringing people in the gates, and once you've got them, then maybe a few of those people, extra people that came along, will come along to see a few more games next season.
We hope so. And that's what we want.
The finals is a good way of building up pressure football and making the games mean something.
Of course it is. Don't get me wrong.
Ordinary
punter. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love it that they're there.
Talk about the players. Influences in the game. Paul Ifill, I thought, had a big influence. But I thought Perth were probably the better team. I thought they probably had the more chances.
I agree. I definitely thought that they were actually going to come away with the victory. And you know, when it comes down to penalties, it's not really relied so much on, you know, who's taking the penalty. There's so much pressure at that moment. It's how good of a keeper you've got. So I really actually feel for Perth in
this instance. Lucy. Terry Henry rang me at the end of the
extra time.
I'm
sure he would have. Was he gloating?
No, he was just gently reminding me that...
gently reminding you.
New Zealand football on the rise and he picked it. Yeah. But we did discuss the keeper and we said before the penalty is that it would come down to Tando and Liam Reddy, and the one who was most likely to perform was Liam Reddy. So
of course
really?
It is. And
I thought Tando might have a chance. He's a good shot stopper.
No.
What have you been watching this season?
Yeah, well, where have you been?
Hey, I've been watching the same games. Pim Verbeek has been watching, and he chose him in the last soccer.
No, he's in the squad. He doesn't play.
He doesn't play. Thank you very much.
Choosing him to carry the drinks.
No, he gets a cheap ticket because he's underage.
You think it's the McDonald's system?
Yeah, we're trying to
hire the young kids.
We're trying to save money. Two old fellas go and the third one goes free.
Well, look, you know what? Regardless of that, I think, you know, he did have a really kind of a bit of a nightmare of a season. There were a few shots there that were really quite horrid, to put it bluntly. But when it comes to a goalkeeper, I think you need experience. And the older the better, I do say.
Should they be kept in the A-League, Wellington Phoenix?
Oh.
Should they be kept in the A-League?
Yeah, I want to see him in the A-League.
Of course, why not?
Yeah. Okay. No, well, just Mr. Bloke called Mr. Bin Haman, the head of... The AFC seems to be on a bit of a roll to get them booted out.
He's against them because they're in a different confederation. So we are essentially helping Oceania, who theoretically are against the Asian Federation.
Our competitors, basically. Yeah. I don't think. I mean, look at how the rest of the sporting systems work out. I mean, you've got rugby union. They've got a lot of, you know, overseas predominant teams, and, you know, South Africa and things like that. Well, now what's wrong with having that in Australian
FIFA
football?
FIFA football is cutthroat.
On the raw.com.au,
I
stuck my neck out and said the Gold Coast were going to win. Of course, I'm now eating heaps of humble pie. I predicted how they would go through the four games. Well, I've put on a lot of weight since it was a massive piece.
Humble pie.
Good riddance, we say to the Gold Coast, because a new team came in, bludged their way through, and with only 4,000 people, who wants to see a game of football in the finals with 4,000 people? Not me.
Not me.
The near post.
No.
Not the near post.
Definitely not.
We support teams that support themselves.
Exactly.
Although,
we do like
my
that.
Prediction wasn't all bad, because I looked at the stats, and the stats were like 70-80% possession for the Gold Coast, 27 shots against 3 to Newcastle. Shane Smeltz had 4,000 shots.
Yeah. Shane, right. What was going on there? I thought, is he going to give a goal? Come on, 100. 20 minutes. Let's pull something out, lads.
And he's only playing against Ben Kennedy, for God's sake.
Seriously, didn't Ben Kennedy do well?
He did. But, I mean, that says it all, really, doesn't it? Yeah, but anyway, absolutely. So the Jets versus Wellington, that should be a good one. But we'll talk about the finals next time. Sydney Melbourne, we just mentioned. 2-1, if you can remember that far back. Nicky Merger.
Nicky Mergergate. More going on with Mergergate. Excuse me, I'm so excited to talk about this because this is karma working at its finest. Thank you very much.
Lucy, we've got no time. No, you can't. Go on.
We're all out of time. We're going for 15 minutes dead air.
I'm sorry. And look, Melbourne Victor are actually going to appeal the two-match ban that's been dished out against him. And you know what?
I don't think there's any room in that appeal. His elbow was pretty much flush in the face.
It was obvious. I mean, what are these experienced players doing? If you're going to foul someone, do it quietly in a corner somewhere where there aren't officials around and TV cameras zooming in right in on you. I mean,
John Aloisi saved Sydney. I mean, if he hadn't got that goal.
John Aloisi. I almost go deaf when we start talking about him. I completely tune out.
Open mind.
I think you guys are just mean against Aloisi.
Yeah, here we go.
No,
you're his only
hero
fan
of Australian football.
Maybe you can start up a Facebook fan page. Yeah. And you can be the only member.
But interestingly, after a 1.2 million salary, he's rumoured to be having 120,000. Now, I didn't know whether they just dropped the naught off by mistake or whether he's actually gone down in value, perhaps.
Do you think?
No, possibly. So, Sydney, you were really sucked in with that price. So that's it. We've got the finals coming up sometime in the future, whenever, after this Sydney...
We've got 2 weeks to go, game.
Yeah.
But we've got the Asian Champions League. It all starts to... Well, last night, if you're listening across Australia, or in Canberra, if you're listening on the Tuesday, it's going to be tonight. Melbourne Victory versus Beijing. First up, what do you think? Away in Beijing. Lots of Aussies on the pitch.
Including young Joel Griffith.
Ryan's not there, but Joel Griffiths is there, yep.
And your favourite, Matthew Leckie?
Tomorrow night, yes. And I'd like to just point out that... you know, Scott McIntyre, that expert from SBS, has said young players to watch across Asia are not only Hyung Bowen from Beijing or Deng Xiaoxiang from Shandong, but Matthew Leckie from Adelaide. He didn't mention Tommy Orr from Brisbane.
I defended you last week when the Tommy Orr bashing came out. Paddy, I'm your devout fan.
Look, in a one-on-one fight between Matthew Leckie and Tommy Orr would come out on top. Everyone knows that.
Matthew's in this soccer squad.
Just back to the group. I think it's a very tough group for Victory. Beijing are a good team. I can't see them coming away with anything.
60,000 people watched their last few games last season, so hopefully it should be a cracker tonight.
That's more than we get at the Gold Coast, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think they closed their stadium, so that probably helps. So the other teams in the group are Kawasaki Frontale from Japan, who went well last season, and also Songnam Ilhwa Chumna from Korea as well. So that is a really tough group. Yeah. But
it's going to be interesting.
Dare I say group of death?
Group of death, yeah. I'd have to agree with that. I don't know how far they're actually going to get, but, you know, fingers
almost
crossed
as bad
them.
As they're saying socks all the time for New Zealand. But anyway, Adelaide United, more interestingly, perhaps that game against the Pohang Steelers, the champions of Asia. They've had quite a few changes. They've got a couple of key players who are out injured as well. So... Adam Griffiths there, Sergio van Dijk, and the boy Nigel Bugard's there, and Matthew Leckie. Lots of changes, lots of excitement. Can Adelaide
get off
to a
flight? I don't know if you talked about this last week, but van Dijk, he's a great addition to
the
Asian Champions League squad for Adelaide.
I agree.
I think he's a goal scorer. Adelaide are desperate for that. He's a big guy up front, and... your friend Leckie will be able to play off him.
Your friend Leckie.
Reasonably easily.
He'll be everybody's friend.
He's a really good addition.
Post-South Africa.
Here we go.
He'll be everybody's friend. Did you talk to Ned, by the way?
Here we go. You know, Matthew Leckie, you have got a fan in Eamon Flanagan. Let me tell you. Look, I think Adelaide, maybe they do have a shot. Like you said, I think Sergio van Dijk is fantastic. He's got a lot of creative flair. He can do something and score goals, which is what they need to do. But can they come away with a good result?
A win at home. Obviously, two teams go through, so a win at home is crucial. And Adelaide at home always...
They do quite well.
You've got to win your home games and try and draw your away games.
Absolutely.
So it's done.
And can they mould a team? You know, because basically they've got a new striker, Bergold's in there, Griffith's in there. They're some key players. So
That's very good because they've been going through a slump, Adelaide. So this sort of change, they can at least ride on the back of that and use that as, you know,
so it should be a cracking game.
The time is gone of the awful past season and moving into a new season.
Good.
Of the two teams, who do you think will go furthest, Melbourne or Adelaide?
Just pure experience.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to punt on Melbourne for this one. I think they might have a really good shot. Adelaide, again, like we said, even though they've got the few new players in there, I don't know, this past season has really not given me much to talk about them. So let's see what happens.
It's tough for Melbourne because they've got no strikers, you know.
Well, Dave's not helping. I don't think Nicky Merger will be impressed with that as he goes out tonight
Nicky,
to say that.
Nicky Elbows Merger.
Yeah. Nicky Merger Elbows Gate. It's just... It's a nightmare. I can't say enough bad things about him, actually.
But even he was coming good for them, and he hit the post with a couple of cracking shots. Mm. And he is a decent striker.
Mm. Oh, he's a good striker with his elbow.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, I just don't see him coming through. You know, he's
I think
not
Shannon Cole will be able to attest to that. Yeah.
Yes. Now we're talking Socceroos. The squad was announced for the Asian Champions League Asian Cup qualifier. Crucial game against Indonesia. 20,000 crowd they're expecting, so not a great crowd. But if we don't win or get a draw, it's a nightmare. Now, we have brought back a few players from overseas. Josh Kennedy from Asia, so it's all balls up high to Josh. Jay North's back, even though he's not playing in Korea, so the rules have changed. If you're not playing with your club in Korea, you can play in...
If you're playing Korea, you're exempt from the not playing rule.
Yep. Bit of a loophole there.
Luke Wiltshire's come back, thanks to the weather in Russia, and the league obviously doesn't start until June.
That's right.
So that's good to see. And there's another guy, Mark Milligan, from the J-League Division 2, which apparently is better than...
That's right. And Kalina's playing, and he should be overseas. He should be overseas. Jason Kalina.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's too good for the A-League.
What's he going to do, by the way? An interesting question. Now, we've talked about Chris Coyne and Milos Teodosic all getting clubs that I don't recall seeing that on Twitter that they've actually signed.
It's not on Twitter. It doesn't exist.
No, they haven't actually signed for their clubs in Asia or wherever they are. But more interesting, of course, Jason Kalina is now out of the finals. He's got one more game against the Socceroos. And Pim said you had to be playing. So
that's right.
Where is he going to go? Yeah. Well, more importantly, where do you think he's more suited to?
Well, the question, it's probably who's going to take him. I mean, he's probably more suited to going back to Holland, isn't he?
I think probably. Dutch football suits him.
Yeah. Or maybe, I suppose...
And he's a proven performer there. Belgium, maybe.
Japan. But I don't suppose he can go back overseas if the transfer window's gone.
I don't see him excelling in Japan. I think it's a very quick, fast-paced game. I think he needs to be somewhere more where, like you said, maybe the Dutch or the Belgium leagues, where, you know, they start to play what I like to call a bit of champagne football. They're very good. They focus on their long balls. They're, you know, quite technically gifted. So I think maybe there he's suited to.
He needs to do something
else.
Otherwise it's star jumps in the park for a long time.
For a very long time. And is he going to be selected for
campaign,
the Socceroos?
Yeah. Come with the Socceroos around Sydney and do your star jumps with Jason Kalina. get Jason Kalina fit for the World Cup. And then we move on to Melbourne and then Mount Druitt and Perth, and it could be every week.
And
all
I can do Thursdays from 6 to 7.
Okay,
I'm happy
good
to help.
There we go, that's brilliant.
I can do the mornings.
Well, I can't do any. We've got to keep him fit or he's going to get fat. So
but you go running, Lizzie. You could fit in along a little bit of a sprint session.
I don't have time for Jason Kalina. I'm sorry, I've got a busy schedule.
Okay, so
pass Jason.
Daniel McBreen's in the squad. I know, Paddy, you're pretty excited about
McBreen,
that.
McBreen, what is he doing in that squad?
Good Lord. That was a shock.
I agree. If you actually look at the squad, you find he had 13 or 14 names and he had to hand in 25 and he had to actually find some other names.
To scrape the bottom of the barrel.
That was one of them. It was either him or Matty Simon. Right. Once again, I'm outraged that when they play Q8 in Canberra, which is not that long ago, go with an A-League squad. We probably got 8 or 10 guys in that squad last year that haven't even made a squad of 25, which suggests to me Pim was on the booth.
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Let's just put it right out there.
So anyway, we'll see how we go. Ben Kantrowski's in there. Tommy
Kantrowski
Orr's in there.
Tommy Orr.
Hello.
Luke De Vere, so some young guns. Shannon Cole's in there, which...
If he's recovered from his elbow to the head...
Yes. So David Williams is in there as a bit of a...
Shock edition.
Shock edition, perhaps. Mm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Bustling. Maybe he'll... he's could have an
look,
impact.
Maybe Pim can Physical see player. Things that we can't or that I can't, should I say, because I'm always surprised by his choices. Mm. I mean, not that we've got, you know, an array of brilliant players to choose from. Sorry there, I said it. But, you know, he's always coming up with something interesting. And what I find as well is that why aren't we keeping a consistent team in there? It's always new names coming from here, there and everywhere. It's like, well, what do you expect to do then with a team that's completely brand new?
It's a really good point. And people will criticise them when they don't perform. But, you know, there's only... I think Simon Klosser has the most caps, or I suppose Luke Wiltshire, but there's really not many players with a lot of caps. So to put 3 or 4 new faces on there and expect them to perform... If we don't qualify against Indonesia, if we don't get a draw,
it doesn't matter to him because he's leaving after the World Cup.
But it has to matter to him. I mean, come on, what are you here to do? Are you here to get results and make a name for yourself? This falls on his back as well. Yeah. I already don't think much of him as a coach as it is. And for him to do that and make these bizarre team selections, I mean, I think...
If he doesn't qualify for the Asia Cup, we should sack him before the World Cup.
Sack him immediately. Sack him. No, you know what? I don't think that's that outlandish.
No, I think, I mean, to us as football fans, the Asia Cup, to me, is as important to the future of Australian football as the World Cup.
Of course it is.
The World Cup will come and go, and those guys will all retire. The Asian Cup in 2011, we have to be there. And if Pim doesn't get us there, I don't want him to take my team out in the World Cup.
No, well, what chances do we have at the World Cup then?
Let's just overreaction.
Home of realistic talk.
10 deep breaths.
Let me ask you this. Are you a fan of Pim?
Yes. Don't you know this? Yes, I am.
Oh,
in Pim we trust.
It brings me to tears almost.
He took us to the World Cup. He did it so efficiently and effectively.
I could have taken them to the World Cup. Let's be honest. I've watched enough football in my lifetime to be able to direct a team, let me tell you. Better than Pim, I would say.
Come on. There's only one flaw in Pim's judgment, and that is his hairdresser. Other than that, I am fine with Pim's choices.
So,
apart from McBreen.
So, from the near post overreaction side of the desk.
Yes.
It's all over.
If Pim doesn't get a result next Wednesday in Brisbane, you're not worried and bothered.
I'll be upset. I will be upset.
Yeah, but are you concerned that we won't make it, you know, we won't do well in the World Cup then as a result?
No,
I don't think it's connected.
You don't think it's connected?
Oh, my bottom lip would come out a bit and there'd be some quivering. That's how upset.
I don't know if you should be on the near post with passion like that.
I don't think so. I would be outraged. Outrage is what you want.
Outrage.
This is where the passion is. Thank you.
That's right. That's what we saw in New Zealand on the weekend. We saw passion. We saw Piney and Kutsi on the podcast giving us passion. We're
middle-aged women with their tops off. It was all
that's
on
we
in New Zealand.
Yes.
Yeah.
I turned off at that point, obviously.
Again, you really
I wish I'd have stayed on... I'll be watching Wellington next time they play, don't worry.
And come on, girls, you heard it on the near post. Get it out again for Aiden.
No, I was thinking about the football, the penalties.
Oh, be quiet.
Okay, that's enough from us. Bob, if you're still listening, thanks for listening. And Lucy and Paddy, thanks for joining us. If you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first. Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first. Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.